Luke chapter 12, verses 54 to 59.
He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain.' And is done, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot.' And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny."
Let's come before the Lord in prayer before we get into his word. Father God, we pray that you would guide us through this passage this morning. We pray that you would convict our hearts of the message, the warning signs that you have given us through these words. We pray that we would be convicted, Lord, that we might be reconciled through Christ Jesus to God the Father, that we might have confidence on the day of judgment. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the 40s and 50s, Juan Manuel Fangio was one of the most successful Formula One race car drivers in the world. In fact, he was so good at what he did, he won the World Drivers' Championship 5 times running. He completely dominated the sport, the beginning of Formula One. And this was all long before they had all sorts of the electronic driver assist and safety mechanisms they have these days. There was no traction control, no anti-lock brakes, no stability control. All Fangio had to keep him safe while he roared around the track was his skill and his undivided attention. Every minute of every lap, he was concentrating as hard as he could to see any problem with the car or any problem with the track. And on one particular race, all of these skills that he had built up over time were put to the test. Just after the opening lap of the Monaco Grand Prix in 1950, Fangio approached a dangerous bend for the second time in that race. But this time, something was different. Something that could have easily been missed by a less alert driver. As Fangio roared past the spectators, he noticed that something was wrong. The spectators' faces that normally appeared like a whitish kind of blur as he roared past seemed to be all turned away from him. And in that split second, he thought to himself, if they're not looking at me, they must be looking at something far more interesting around the corner. And so he instantly began to brake as hard and as carefully as he could as he rounded the next bend. And as he made his way around that blind bend, he found out that that split second assessment was spot on. As he saw the road blocked with a pileup of cars that had all crashed into each other. The other drivers had missed the signs that had caused Fangio to brake and had driven straight into this pileup. On the racetrack, everything is going so fast that Fangio had been looking for signs of trouble all the time. The smallest and most insignificant change in the car or the track could spell disaster if he missed the signs. Because on the racetrack, you never truly know what's coming up around the corner. But the truth is, that isn't only the case on the racetrack. None of us know what's coming up around the corner in our lives. We don't know if the harvest that's only just been sown is going to work out. We don't even know if we'll still be in good health when it is time to reap that harvest. None of us know what is right around the corner in our own lives. And yet, we often live as though tomorrow is going to be the same as today and yesterday, as though life will go on forever like it has always done. Sometimes we forget to pay attention to the signs that God has given us of what is coming up on the road ahead. Fangio only had the smallest piece of information, the smallest inkling that something might be going wrong to make his split-second decision. But when it comes to knowing what is right around the corner in our lives, we've been shown large amounts of information about who God is and about what he has done. We've heard the preaching of God's word, and we have seen the effect of his word in the lives of those who follow Jesus. And we can even read it for ourselves any time we want. And yet, despite all of the information God has given us, we still often get caught up in the race and forget all about the warning signs. And as long as there's no danger around the next corner, as long as Christ hasn't returned or we haven't died, we think we're okay. But when we come around that corner that leads to the day of judgment, will we have heeded the warnings? Will we be ready to stand before our Creator and give an account for how we have lived in the light of what Christ has done? The verses we're looking at this morning are a part of a message that Jesus has been preaching to his disciples throughout chapter 12. These words follow on from the parable of the rich fool who built up an incredible wealth and then believed that he could live on that wealth and no longer trust God. And the warning that Jesus had given to be dressed and ready for our Master's return. As we've been working our way through chapter 12 of Luke, Jesus has been giving us sign after sign after sign, warning us that he will return like a thief in the night. He will return on a day that we do not expect him and on an hour we are unaware of. Jesus is warning us to take the signs that he has given to heart, because the day that Jesus returns will come like a thief in the night. And on that day, it'll be too late for those who have ignored the warning signs and who have not been reconciled to God. As Jesus was speaking to the large crowd around him who were eagerly listening to his teaching, Jesus says in verses 54 to 56, you can follow on in your Bibles if you'd like. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Well, these days, if we want to know what the weather's going to be like, I think most of us have an app on our phone. We ask a farmer because they always seem to know the answer. But in Palestine in the first century, because of the geography of that landscape, they knew that the weather always came from the west. The rain always came in from the west. And so if they looked in the sky and saw rain clouds getting darker and darker as they made their way across the sky, they knew that that was a sign that it was going to rain. When the south wind blew off the hot desert, they knew the weather was going to be hot. They knew how to interpret the signs of God's physical creation. They were alert to what was happening around them in the physical world. And knowing this, Jesus says to them, "Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Why does Jesus use the word hypocrites here? I mean, what's so hypocritical about their behavior? After all, Jesus would have known that keeping a good eye on the weather was important for the livelihood of many of the people in the crowd. And they were good at paying such close attention to the signs of the physical realm, to their day-to-day living, to earning an income and building lives for themselves here on earth. Jesus calls them hypocrites because they were completely ignoring the signs of what God was doing right in front of their eyes. They had no doubt seen and heard about all of the miracles that Jesus had been performing. They had heard the good news of the kingdom of God from Jesus' own lips. It wasn't as though they didn't know that God was doing something amazing through Jesus. But even though they had only just heard Jesus telling them to be dressed and ready for the Master's return, their hearts were ignoring the signs that were right in front of their eyes. They knew in their minds there was something special about this guy. They knew there was something special about Jesus. And they were no doubt telling each other about all of the amazing things they had seen and heard about him. But their hearts were hard. And so they were saying one thing and doing another. With their mouths, they were proclaiming the glory of Christ Jesus. But while their words were giving God the glory, their actions were telling a very different story. Jesus knows what is in every person. He knows every single one of our hearts, all the things that we try and hide away from others. And he knew that the people in this crowd were not dressed and ready for their master's return. Despite all the wonderful things the crowd had been saying about Jesus, he knew that they were not taking the warnings that he was giving them seriously. He knew that it wasn't reaching their hearts. And so Jesus tells them a short parable in verses 57 to 59. "Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled with him on the way. Or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." The image that Jesus is providing here is of two people who are in an incredibly serious conflict. These two people are estranged from each other, and they are making their way to the courthouse to have the judge preside on this matter. And Jesus says, "Do everything you can to be reconciled to your adversary before you get to the judge, because the judge will hand you over to the officer, and the officer will throw you into prison, and you'll have to pay the full penalty of what your wrongdoings deserve." But of course, the judge in this parable is talking about is no earthly judge. Jesus is using this parable to describe what it will be like on the day of judgment. What it'll be like on the day when the Master returns. If we are not personally, in our own hearts, reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. If we haven't accepted the guilt of our sin recognize the wrong that we have done if we aren't trusting in the righteousness of Christ. Then we're still on our way, just like this parable, we are still on our way to, with our accuser, to see the judge. If we are not right with God, if our profession of faith in Jesus does not match our heart condition, then we too are hypocrites, saying one thing whilst doing another. And so through these words, Jesus is warning us to be reconciled to God before our Master returns, before we make it to the courthouse and are held accountable for every sin, every act of rebellion that we have ever done. Are you ready to stand before your Creator and give an account for how you have lived in the light of what Christ Jesus has done? We may not be able to see and touch Jesus in the flesh like this crowd were able to do. But in many ways, we have received far more warnings than they had. We have access to God's word in the scriptures. We have the privilege of being able to look at God's plan of salvation from hindsight, being able to see the completed work of Christ on the cross. The mystery of God's plan of salvation that the prophets of old longed to understand has been revealed to us through God's word, through his Son. Are we going to pay attention to these signs? Are we going to be dressed and ready for our Master's return? Are we going to be reconciled with God through Christ Jesus before we are brought before the judge of heaven and earth? Or are we going to choose to ignore the signs of the coming judgment that God has provided us with in his word? 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives." The verses that we've been looking at this morning are warning us to acknowledge our sins and to recognize that apart from Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, we cannot stand before God without facing the full force of judgment. Being a follower of Jesus isn't about being good, because no one, no matter how nice, no matter how wonderful they are, can be good enough in their own strength. Being a follower of Jesus, being ready for the Master's return, requires us to recognize that we have fallen short of God's standard of good, that we are all sinners, that we are all guilty and awaiting judgment, unless our debt has been paid by the blood of Christ. Now, it might be easy to hear these words this morning and let this sermon wash over us and go away unchanged without even thinking about it again. But please don't do that. Because this morning we have been given yet another warning of the coming judgment, a sign that will either cause us to give God the glory for all that he has done for us through Christ Jesus, to give him the glory for the mercy we have received, or it will compound the guilt of those who profess to know Christ but whose hearts are not changed. Those who refuse to confess their sins before God and accept the life-giving mercy and forgiveness of Jesus. None of us know what's coming up around the corner in our lives. None of us know how long we have left. And we've been warned that the day of judgment, Christ's return, will come when we least expect it. So while we are still on the way to stand before the judge of heaven and earth, I urge us all to be reconciled to God the Father through faith in Christ Jesus before it is too late. And to make this profession of faith, not just with our words as hypocrites do, but to surrender our hearts to Jesus, acknowledging that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's standard of good. That the only way that we can stand before our Creator with confidence is through faith in what Christ has done, his perfectly sinless life that he lived on our behalf, his sacrificial death, and his resurrection that established the hope of life forever in him. May we take this warning very seriously. May we heed the signs and respond while there is still time, because the Master will return on a day when we do not expect him, at an hour we are not aware of. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would convict our hearts. We pray that you would challenge us if our hearts are hard. Lord, give us soft hearts to hear your word this morning. Don't allow us to leave here unchanged. We pray that you would help us to know the mercy that can only be found in Christ Jesus, the confidence to be able to come before you as one of your children. Lord, we praise you for the hope that you have established in giving your one and only Son to pay the debt that our sins deserve. And Lord, we pray that you would help us by your Spirit not to take that mercy for granted. And Lord, we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.